Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo.
Let's get it started.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And what is up, Xander?
Not much, Bubba. I'm still trying to recover from my weekend trip to Vegas. It was probably the most fun I've ever had in a 2.5 day span in my entire life. But I'll tell you, driving back up to school Monday morning, that turned out to be one of the worst days of my life. My hands are shaking. The entire time, I could barely sit through class, and my teacher's asking me all these questions about how my trip went. I just want to say, leave me alone. I'm tired. Had a long weekend, lost a lot of money. had a great time, though. Got to put our pick to the test, and thank God I didn't stay for the Green Bay game, or I would have piled on a little more to what was an expensive weekend.
Well, you know, it happens, but hey, you know, that's what it's all about. At least your weekend's not going to be like Josh Brown's weekend, so...
Yeah, you know what? This is another big hit for the NFL, I think. I mean, I don't know all the details yet, but it seems like the Giants and the NFL knew a lot more about the situation than they let on. And looking back at it now, the one-game suspension, I mean, I think this is going to be another big PR hit for the NFL. But also, I think it's kind of disgraceful. I mean, when you look at all the facts that were out there that, I mean, I didn't know about them personally, but... You know, it seems like the Giants were trying to hide something, and they knew a lot more about this case, which is turning out to be pretty gruesome details. I mean, I've read things, you know, over 20 cases of abuse by Josh Brown, you know, towards his wife. I mean, my thoughts are that, you know, it's not only is it unacceptable, but the fact that this is another thing the NFL has seemed to botch. I mean, I just thought, are they ever going to get it right?
No, they're not going to get it right because the judge, the jury, and the appellate court is all one guy, and he's a jackass. And it needs to be taken care of. It's enough already of what's going on. Now, fortunately, I think he's now been suspended for the year, basically.
He got put on the exempt list, the same list that Adrian Peterson was
right
on last year.
So he's basically done. But again, it's unacceptable, as you said. You know, unfortunately, it happens every day in regular homes, but these guys are athletes, so it's even comes up more magnified. But it's enough. It's over. And Roger Goodell's got to go, or he's got to set up a better chain of command, because he is not doing a job, as far as I'm concerned, with all of these things. You can't have these things going on in the world, I think. What do you think?
Right. I agree. And I thought Steve Smith came out and said it best. I mean, he got a little aggressive about Josh Brown. He said, you know, if he was his teammate, that he'd be on the IR. Later apologized for saying that. But, you know, he went on to say the system is broken. And I kind of want to read his statement. I thought it was pretty good. He said, I'll admit my response was a bit extreme. For that, I apologize. The point I'm trying to make is that things have to change. A man should never hit a woman, which means he isn't a real man. We have valued the amount of air in a ball, but yet devalued when a person or persons have been harmed and failed to put forth necessary actions or energy and time in which far less important things have taken precedent. And, you know, he goes on to say a couple more things, but I think he nailed it right on the head. I mean, you know, the NFL, we had almost a 2.5 year investigation about deflated footballs in a 40-point game. But meanwhile, you know, we have this under the table thing going on where a guy who's, you know, basically admitted that he, you know, abused his wife over 20 times, is hit with a one-game suspension, and, you know, it kind of goes under the table unnoticed until now. But I mean, you know, the thing about the NFL is, you know, they're never proactive. It's always reactionary things. And, you know, sometimes it's too late. And I think in this particular case, it's too late. I mean, this should have been taken care of a long time ago. And I think they're going to get hit hard. They're going to get crucified. And I think they should, because this is the kind of thing that, you know, they've had a couple chances to get it right. You know, the Ray Rice case was really the first one that people said, you know, you guys really screwed this up. They went back and they fixed it. But now this is another example. I mean, you keep making the same mistake, and, you know, this should never have happened in the first place.
No. And again, you're right. They spent 2 years or whatever it was worried about Tom Brady. And here, these are serious problems, and they need to be addressed. And, you know, obviously, I don't want to spend the whole show talking about them, but they are very serious problems. They need to be addressed. And guys like that should not be allowed back on the football field. That's the price you pay. It's worse than being a drug addict, because you're hurting another person, and they should be banned, just like the steroid or the substance abuse, whatever they call those drugs they use, performance enhancers. Okay, now, that's my opinion. There's no excuse for that, and that's the end of that day. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I agree. You know, I think we put it to rest, but I mean, I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of backlash, and we'll probably see a lot of that in the next week. But I think it's safe to say that Josh Brown has played, you know, his last professional football game. But let's move on to this past week's action in the NFL. I have to say, we made a fantastic call. Lamar Miller finally had his coming out party. 25 attempts for 150 yards and a touchdown. Over 30 fantasy points at a couple of receiving yards, too. I mean, the guy was unbelievable, and I know it was against the Colts defense, but it was great to see Lamar Miller finally come onto the scene. I know he's been getting a lot of rushing attempts, but not a lot of fantasy points, so that was great to see. The Texans came up big in overtime and beat the Colts, and I thought that was probably one of the better games of the week.
Oh, no, I thought it was good, and I figured he'd have a good day. And I mean, he'll get a real test this week, but, you know, it's amazing that, you know, he's had a, you know, he's been okay, but he did have a nice breakout party. But, you know, he got a problem because that quarterback that they picked up stinks. So he ain't helping anything.
Right, and, you know, I got DeAndre Hopkins on my fantasy team, and, you know, I'm waiting. You know, he's doing okay, but meanwhile, I'm waiting. I took him in the first round, and I have to wait every week. Pretty soon, I'm not going to make the playoffs, but we'll see if Brock Osweiler can get it done this week. It's going to be a tough test, but, you know, our other pick of the week, we had the Bills over the 49ers, and the Bills looked absolutely fantastic. I mean, after that 0-2 start, they rattled off four straight. LeSean McCoy pops off again, 140 yards, three touchdowns. Run into a little trouble this week, though. I mean, it looks like he's not going to play, a little bit of a hamstring issue. So we'll see where he goes from there. But, I mean, the Bills just dismantled the 49ers. And I thought Colin Kaepernick, I thought, looked okay. But, I mean, this Bills defense was just too much. And, you know, the 49ers, you know, couldn't catch water if they thought of a boat.
Well,
LeSean McCoy just ran wild.
There's one little issue here, and that's, you know, McCoy got hurt. You know, he got hurt last week a little bit, but he hurt himself in practice. And then they called him out, and then he became questionable. And then he practiced yesterday. And now there's like a little thing going on. His agent said he's out, obviously, because he didn't want to get hurt any worse. And they're trying to convince him to play. What do you think about that?
I think it's a bad move. I mean, one of the worst injuries you can have is, I think, to the hamstring. I mean, it's just something that, I mean, you saw Antonio Gates came out last week and said it. You know, I'm not at 100%, but it's hard to get there when I keep playing on, you know, this bum leg every week. And I think, you know, the Bills, you're on a roll. You're going to Miami to play a brutal Dolphins team. You know, I give them credit. They whooped the Steelers this week. But I don't think they're very good. And I think the Bills could definitely move on this week without LeSean McCoy. And the last thing you want is for him to go out there and tear the thing and be out for the rest of the season. Because then I think your season takes a huge hit if you lose LeSean McCoy. Because, you know, Tyrod Taylor, I think he's serviceable. I think he's okay. But you're not going to win. You're not going to make the playoffs with Mike Gillisley in the backfield. I mean, I don't really care. You're not going to win that division with the Patriots.
I agree, but we got to cut to a break. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We'll come back and finish this conversation. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
You don't get my soul, do you?
Technically, no, but...
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And so, Xander, you're talking about, and I agree, you know, first of all, if you can't beat Miami without LeSean McCoy, then you're not a very good team. I mean, this is the time that a real good team's got to step up and take one for the team. But usually you'll find, and if you watch, you know, if they're good for one game, they can overcome it because they'll have enough mental, you know, especially football, they'll have enough juice in their mind to get past it for one or two games. But then after that, it becomes a much bigger issue, which I think is what you're saying.
Right. I mean, the last thing you want, I mean, LeSean McCoy has been one of the best backs in the league this year. And if you have a chance to give him a little rest, if he's not 100%, especially dealing with a hamstring injury, I think you let him sit the week out. And I don't know why, you know, they're trying to portray this in the media that they really want him to play. And, you know, if he doesn't really want to play, I don't really see the need for it. But, you know, looking at a couple other games, we said the Giants season would ride on one man, that was Odell Beckham. And he delivered 222 yards and two touchdowns, caught the game-winning score against the Ravens. I mean, guys, the guy's antics, they're still a little bit over the top, but, I mean, the Giants won that game, and like we said last week, you know, he's going to be the main man if the Giants are going to win the NFC East this year.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, you know, listen, I have him, and I was happy. I was awfully nervous, and he was laying flat out on the field, though. And then Wednesday when he got the I get the updates all the time and they go Odell Beckham not practicing but anyways, that was good. But I don't know, it's gonna be awfully hard to beat the Dallas Cowboys. The only way the Dallas Cowboys can lose this division, in my opinion now, is that they bring Tony Romo in.
The issue just gets more tangible every week. I mean, you know, you heard a couple weeks ago Romo's our starting quarterback. Even Dak Prescott said that. But now, Dak Prescott goes into Lambeau and absolutely dismantles the Packers. I mean, that game was 30-16. It could have been 100-0. It was not a good game. You know, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott clicking on all cylinders. And I don't think you can't bring Romo back right now. You just can't do it. I mean, there's no point. You're 5-1. You got a rookie QB who's playing at a very high level. And I just don't think you screw with that kind of chemistry, especially coming in and beating a very good, what I think is a pretty good Packers team. You can't do it. I mean, I think you're risking a lot more than, you know, this season if you bring Romo back. I think you need to move on.
I'm 100% with you. I said that 2 weeks ago. So I'm all for, look, I hope they don't bring him back. I hope they don't make the mistake. Dak Prescott seems to have the whole team going for him. He seems to be doing the right thing. And let's face it, a guy like him can help controlling the game, which is really helping their defense. And they're really looking pretty sharp as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think they look very sharp. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, after we get past week 8, after the bye, you know, what's going to happen with Tony Romo. I don't really see him causing a problem if they do choose to stay with Dak Prescott. I've always thought Tony Romo was a pretty good guy, but, you know, we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there. And, you know, I think we're looking at this week's action. Interesting game for me, Bob. Vikings are traveling to Philadelphia. They're a 3-point favorite, and I happen to love the Vikings this week. I mean, Carson Wentz has not looked like the same quarterback as he did the first 3 weeks. I think what a lot of people aren't talking about is, you know, Lane Johnson, who was their starting left tackle, was rated the number 3 tackle in the league the first 3 weeks, then got hit with a 10-game suspension. The past two games Philly has played, which they both lost in, Carson Wentz has not looked like the same quarterback. And I fear this week that this Vikings defense is just going to eat him up. And I'm a big fan of Minnesota on the road here.
Well, you know what? I'm a big fan, but for a different reason. I never look at Carson Wentz having a nice start to a year, but their team is not that good. I don't care. I've seen him play for a couple of years. You know, I've seen him obviously for 30 years, but they're not that good, in my opinion. And, you know, the rookie got off to a good start, and he still looks good, but, you know, you got to have the other pieces of the puzzle. But I think there's one more little bit of additive incentive coming back, and typically when a player comes back to where he was, and of course, you know, Bradford was going to play for Philadelphia all the way until Teddy Bridgewater got hurt and he was gone. Now he's with Minnesota, so I think he's got a little added incentive to go as well. So I do agree that Minnesota does give him a little beat down here, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny how that worked out for both guys. I mean, Carson Wentz steps in and is doing a very nice job for Philly, and Sam Bradford, you know, is the head of a 5-0 Minnesota Vikings team. I think it'll be interesting, you know, depending on how the Vikings season plays out, you know, what's going to happen next year. You know, if Sam Bradford happens to lead this Vikings team, you know, to the NFC Championship game, maybe even the Super Bowl, I mean, what do you do? You know, do you keep him or do you just stick with Teddy Bridgewater? I've always thought that that'll be an interesting issue.
Well, that would be the same question you'd ask about Dak Prescott and Tony Romo. I mean, you know, if this guy leads him all the way to Super Bowl, I mean, I think you have an open competition in next year, and you, whoever the best man is, you let him play. I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, you know, hey, you know, life is life, and that's the way things go. And you know, just ask. I can't remember the name, but Lou Gehrig.
Who's, oh, who, Cart. No, oh, I forget what you're talking about.
Right.
So, I can't think of his name either.
Right. So, but at the end of the day, that's the way life goes. Look, it's a competitive sport. It's a business, and their business is winning, and they better start winning because their ratings are really dropping like crazy. So if they don't start winning pretty soon, they're going to have more problems to deal with, right?
Right. I feel that. And, you know, looking at the meatier part of the schedule, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock games, isn't too many good games, in my opinion. I mean, you got the Browns traveling to Cincinnati, Redskins, Lions, Saints, Chiefs. You know, I think it gets a little interesting. You know, Sunday, 3:25, I'm really interested to see how the Steelers look against the Patriots. I mean, Big Ben is out this week and really drove me through a freaking wall last week watching him play. You know, it seemed like the entire team was in slow motion, especially Ben Roethlisberger. And then I find out after the game that he was hurt. But, you know, they're on my teaser card, and I'm saying, let's go. Let's step up the offense. And they're walking down the field. They're down by 20 points. You know, a quarter and a half left. But, you know, I think this is a big blow to the Steelers this week. I mean, I don't know if they would win the game with Ben Roethlisberger. But, you know, being at home, having that explosive of an offense, this is going to take a big toll on them. I think they're going to need to rely heavily on Le'Veon Bell in this game. I know the Patriots are probably going to be keying him up, especially with Landry Jones under center. But this is going to be a true test for me to see if the Steelers are, you know, are they pretenders or are they contenders? You know, if they come out and play a great game with the Patriots, you know what, I'll let them pass for the week if they lose. But, you know, I could see the Patriots coming in here and just running up the score, winning by 30. Tom Brady's on the FU tour again. And he's looked spectacular so far. I thought they had that.
Well, I think that my personal opinion is that this is it's more important how New England comes out to play. I guarantee you Pittsburgh will come ready to play, and they'll play well. The question is, will New England, you know, athletes, sometimes they overlook somebody and they might get bit in the ass. You know, Landry is not that bad of a quarterback. I mean, he's certainly one of the better backups around. Until Tony Romo becomes a backup, but you know, he's won enough games, you know, for them. I mean, he's been in this spot before, and you know, I think that they'll be okay. I think this is going to be a bigger test for New England. Okay, you know, and unfortunately, Thursday night was the what I thought was the best bet of the week, and that was betting against the Bears, and of course. That was a pretty easy victory, and Hoyer broke his arm. I guess Cutler's coming back. Almost no choice.
I guess very begrudgingly, because I think they were going to sit him out the rest of the year no matter what.
I agree with you. And then, you know, I'll tell you what, I do like one little sleeper team, though, this week. I do like San Francisco this week against Tampa Bay at home. You know, I think that Kaepernick, first of all, I think Tampa Bay's a little suspect, especially on the road. So no big deal. It's just like we call it a dinner and a pizza and a beer movie, a bat or whatever, but I do like them a little bit.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, you know, both of these defenses are pretty atrocious. And I think you saw last week, you know, Kaepernick showed some flashes of what he used to be able to do. I mean, the guy did rush for almost 70 yards, and there's a lot of holes in this Tampa Bay defense. I know that, you know, Torrey Smith, Jeremy Curley, they're not exactly the best 1-2 punch I've ever seen, but I mean, you know, even with Carlos Hyde out, you know, I think Mike Davis, Sean Drone, I think they're going to move the ball a little bit. And I mean, this is obviously a glorified toilet bowl, but, you know, I could see Kaepernick lighting it up. I mean, he's on my radar as a sleeper fantasy play. I mean, you know, very cheap, but, you know, I agree. I think the 49ers are going to show up to play a little bit. I mean, they're 1-5, the Chip Kelly NFL experiment. I think the sand is slowly falling out. But yeah, you know, we'll see. And then, last game, I'm looking at Monday night. Very interesting game. You know, Brock Osweiler travels to Denver.
Let's pick that game up after the break. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba, and we're ripping apart everybody today. That's just kind of the way we're doing it. We'll be back after the break. Go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every week. And this is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We'll be right back.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And so you like the Monday night game, the Texans-Broncos?
I like the game. I'm kind of in between who I want to take. I mean, I think the Broncos, I think they show up. You know, I feel this is similar to that Cincinnati game a couple of weeks ago for me. The Broncos didn't, you know, they didn't really show up with a pass rush. And I think that's going to be the opposite this week. I think they're going to go after Brock Osweiler. Kind of the 9 points, though, it just doesn't sit right with me. Trevor Siemian, I've seen two different guys this year, and I don't know if he's going to be the guy who comes out and throws four touchdowns, or is he going to, you know, pick and plod for 150 yards? I'm not sure, but I think the Broncos are going to win this game straight up, and I think they really need it. You know, they've looked okay this year, but you know, the defense has been a little suspect, and I think you're getting out of Trevor Siemian about what you'd expect. You know, he's not turning the ball over that much. Throwing the ball okay, but you know, I think this will be an exciting game.
I think it'll be a good game, but I think that of course Osweiler coming home or coming to where he was, and you know, he kind of blew them off, and maybe the defense has a little extra incentive. I would not lay the wood in this game. I cannot lay a lot of lumber when I got a guy like Trevor Siemian. I think he's looked good, and obviously until he got injured. But I just can't lay that much wood, but I can't take it either because, you know, Osweiler is capable of throwing four or five interceptions this week. So it'd be a good game to watch. Of course I need Lamar Miller to light it up again, but that's about the end of that. And then, of course, you know, we've got, college football and, you know, who would have thunk what's going on here in this thing? There's a lot of crazy games every week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, my Tennessee Volunteers, if they didn't rip my heart out already, the last week was the final straw. They came out and just got absolutely pummeled by Alabama. I mean, I was hanging on to that 12.5 points, like, you know, it's the most precious thing in the world to me, and I was sitting there in the third quarter just watching them continue to turn the ball over and just get absolutely run over by Alabama. And you know what? What are you going to do? I mean, you know, we envisioned that this could have happened. You know, I said it would either be a close game or Alabama would absolutely destroy them. And, you know, I think for, I don't know how many weeks in a row, but they scored another touchdown, not on offense. And you know what? I've got to give a lot of credit to Jalen Hurts, the starting quarterback for Alabama. I mean, the guy is a true freshman. And I honestly, looking at the way he plays, I would never have guessed that. I mean, the guy has been playing at such a high level this year. And I know Alabama probably have the best defense in the country, probably the best special teams, but I got to give a lot of credit to the guy under center who has really taken charge of this team as an 18-year-old kid. I mean, he's looked spectacular, and you know, I envision them winning the national championship again right now. I just can't see anybody who can beat him.
Well, it just goes to show you how good that team is, because they didn't name the starting quarterback until opening day, and look at how good he looks. I mean, he looks awfully good, is correct, and you know, it's been crazy, crazy. And what about the Ohio State having a little struggle with Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we called this. We said it would be a great game. We took Wisconsin plus the 10.5, and, you know, we weren't disappointed. When that game got to overtime, I said, no matter what happens, covered, we're winning this game. But, I mean, that was another great game. And Wisconsin, you got to give those guys credit. I mean, coming back, Michigan, Ohio State, taking it down to the very end. I mean, this team is a very good team. Obviously, I don't think they're one of the top five. They're not a powerhouse, but they played spectacular over the past few weeks. And I think this week will be a test for them. You know, are they going to come back? Are they going to lay down? They're facing Iowa. They're going on the road. They're a 3.5-point favorite. And I kind of like them this week. I think they're going to show up. They've been battle-tested. I don't think Iowa is – they're nowhere near the teams that Michigan and Ohio State are. And that's one of my picks for the week is Wisconsin traveling to the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, no, I can live with that. I think I do like that game. And it could be a little rough, but you'll know right away. You'll know in the first 5 minutes if they're going to win or not, if they're ready to play. You know, they have had a couple of tough disappointments. I mean, they lost to Michigan, disappointing. They lost to Ohio State. Two very, very winnable games. They actually had the lead in both games. In fact, obviously, the Ohio State game went to overtime. So I think right. They look pretty good there. I think, you know, all of a sudden, though, Northwestern has started to play pretty good all of a sudden. From out of nowhere, they couldn't play. They stunk. They lost to everybody. Now, all of a sudden, they beat the crap out of Michigan State, and they're back rolling again. What do you think of them?
All right. A month ago, I'm watching the Northwestern-Illinois State game at my friend's house. The Northwestern loses to Illinois State. I mean, they go to school right across the street from them. So that was like the ultimate low point. And, you know, like you said, here they are, beat the crap out of Michigan State. I do have to say, though, I think Michigan State, you know, has been very overrated this year. I mean, I remember a few weeks ago, I took them against Wisconsin. I thought they were going to run them out of town, and turns out they're not very good. But still, you got to give a lot of credit to Northwestern. I mean, Michigan State, you know, good or bad in comparison to where they've been, they're no slouch. So I give a lot of credit to Northwestern. But, you know, Clemson, I mean, the start of the season, they're playing like crap, and this week had a big scare against North Carolina State. You know, it took them all the way to overtime to win 24-17. But you know what? Number three team in the nation still. A win is a win. But, I mean, that was a close call, bub.
That was a very close call. And, of course, I actually like Clemson in that game. So it wasn't – it was – but you can tell
– NC State?
No, I like Clemson in the game. No, I tell the truth. I like Clemson in that game. I mean, I'd like to say NC State. But I do like NC State this week against Louisville, though. I think that they're being overlooked – you know, with the numbers that they're getting posted against them. So I actually do like NC State against Louisville this week. I think, you know, Louisville, I think Louisville is good, and I think the quarterback is great, but I think they're getting a little bit exposed, and I don't think they're in that upper echelon tier yet unless the quarterback can carry all the way, and I just don't think he can. That's just what
You know, I think it'll be an interesting game. You know, Lamar Jackson, you haven't heard much about Louisville the past couple of weeks. You know, after you lose in college football, I mean, you kind of get knocked down the ladder. I mean, it's all about, you know, who can stay undefeated. And you got, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama at the top. And speaking of Alabama again, probably the biggest game of the year this week. Number 6 Texas A&M travels to the Crimson Tide as an 18-point underdog. The interesting thing about this game is that the quarterback for Texas A&M, Trevor Knight, has actually beaten Alabama before with Oklahoma a couple years ago in the Cotton Bowl. So how about it if this kid were to come in and beat him twice? I mean, that would be quite a story, wouldn't it?
Well, you know what? I do think that they can win this game, actually. I mean, listen, Alabama's great, but the one thing about athletes, and then especially college athletes, they could have an off week. You know, that's the, you know, obviously I would not bet on them having an off week, but that's the one thing about athletes in general. You know, you've seen some of the Super Bowls where one team doesn't show up, and it's, you know, the human psyche is crazy, and they're an awfully big favorite here, and I'm sure Kevin Sumlin's really talking it up in the locker room, and you know, really working them up here. I think they come out. I think they got a good chance to beat them. That's what I think.
I do, and excuse me, it was actually the Sugar Bowl a couple years ago, but I mean, at the least, if they don't beat them, I like Texas A&M plus 18 points here. I mean, I know they're going to Alabama, and Alabama is that prototypical team that you make a couple mistakes, and all of a sudden the game's 52 to nothing, like you saw week one against USC. But I really like Texas A&M here. I mean, Trevor Knight has been in this situation before. You know, he's beaten Alabama before, and Alabama, you know, every year they're pretty much the same team. You know, they're basically the best defense in the nation. Pretty suitable offense as well, but I'm very excited to watch this one because I think Texas A&M has a real shot here. You know, throw the spread out the window. Johnny Manziel did it a couple years ago. Trevor Knight's done it before, and I think Kevin Sumlin has coached in some big games, and I don't think they're going to lay down for the Crimson Tide at all.
Oh, no, I could agree. I could see it happening 100%. It wouldn't even surprise me. In fact, I told you, I'm taking him on the money line as well. I do really actually believe that they can beat him. Now, again, they'll need a little help. They'll have to play a perfect game, and Alabama will have to have a subpar performance. But, you know, the right team, you know, who gets them down can beat them. And that's, you know, always the story because, you know, we haven't seen their quarterback have to come back and beat somebody, right? Their defense is so damn good that we haven't seen that happen yet. So we'll see how it plays out. But I do agree, and I do like them. I think that they're a outstanding value play because, again, I believe that they can actually win the game without any help. So I don't know if I mean, they're going to maybe need the points, but I'd be happy to take them without. And I think, how about this game, though? Auburn is 11 over Arkansas. Now, Arkansas has played everybody pretty damn tough, and they just come back and beat who'd they beat last week? Mississippi.
No, I think
we had them straight up.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah. We had them as 14-point dogs. They beat them straight up. Okay, so now here they come to Auburn, 12-point dogs. You got 30 seconds. Give me your summation.
You know what? I like Auburn here. I think this is the week where Arkansas finally hits the wall. I really like Auburn at home. You know, they've looked very good since they played LSU. 10.5 points is a lot, but I think this Arkansas team is very tired. I think Auburn's going to run them out of town.
All right, well, then we won't have any play here, but I will go on record saying now that that will be another one of my money line in my parlay that I'm going to say that Arkansas is going to beat them straight up because I don't think Auburn's that good. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Sporting Edge every Saturday as well as the Bubba Show every day. We'll be right back after the break with more of the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, Cubbies. Look what happened. They look bad. They got shut out, and all of a sudden, now they're in charge. What do you think, buddy? Kershaw.
I was legitimately scared after three games of that series. I mean, you know, the Cubs' bats just absolutely fell off the map. And, you know, I got to give it to them. Kershaw in game two, I mean, toss up. Hendricks pitched great. Kershaw pitched unbelievable. I mean, I love Clayton Kershaw. I know he's pitching against the Cubbies, but he's one of my favorite pitchers to watch. I know he is probably the best pitcher in the game, but to see him pitch well in the playoffs, it's kind of a little victory for me because I like to see him do well. I really like, not really against the Cubs, but you know, game two, Rich Hill comes out, and you know they showed the stat line. The guy's been, you know, was drafted three times, was released seven times, was traded four times, and, you know, look at him. He's pitching in the NLCS and shuts out the Cubs. Another atrocious game. You know, Anthony Rizzo, I don't think, had one hit the entire playoffs. And, you know, I saw Jason Hayward pinch hit, you know, looked worse than I did at the plate a couple weeks ago. But, you know, I was real scared, but he came in game four, had a big inning off Julio Urias, and I think that was the turning point for me. I mean, the Cubs needed a little bit of a spark, and they just couldn't get it, and they finally got it, and the offense has more or less exploded. You know, Addison Russell hits that big bomb the other night, and they've really come together. And all these mind games the Dodgers are trying to play with them, with the big leads off Lester, you know, showing bunt 12 times, you know, trying to do all these things with the matchups, finally coming to an end. I think we're seeing the Cubs, I think, definitely are the better team. But, you know, L.A. had their number for a few games. I think the Cubs need to beat Kershaw in game six because game seven with Arrieta on the mound, it honestly, it worries me. You know, him against Rich Hill. Rich Hill has already pitched great this series, and Arrieta was quite frankly, was terrible.
And Rich Hill, the ex-Cub, too.
Rich Hill, the ex-Cub. I mean, the Cubs, a little bit of a stat guy now. The Cubs had, I think, the second worst batting average off curveballs in the entire major leagues this year. And what does Rich Hill throw? No. Curveballs. That's all he throws. And he just absolutely picked apart the Cubs lineup in game three. So I worry about a game seven. And I know it's going to be a tough task, but you know, Cubs, I think it'll take one big inning. I mean, Clayton Kershaw pitched unbelievable in game two, but all it takes is one big inning. I mean, just ask the St. Louis Cardinals the past few years. One at bat, I remember 2 years ago, it was Matt Adams hitting that ball off Kershaw. Three-run homer, changed the entire series. But my opinion is that it's game six, it's do or die, because I don't like putting all my marbles out with Arrieta right now. I mean, I know he's been a great pitcher over the past couple of years, but was not as sharp this year as he was last year, and has not been particularly sharp in the playoffs either of the last 2 years. So putting all my marbles in Hendricks' basket, I think the Cubs are going to need a big inning, but, I mean, this game should go down to the wire. And, you know, L.A., they're going to fight and claw all the way. I mean, they got a lot of good players on that team.
Yeah, and real quick, a little political thing here, but what do you think about Adrian Gonzalez wouldn't stay in the Trump Hotel, in Trump Tower? What do you think about that? You have any opinion on that?
Not really. You know, I read a little bit about it, and he basically said, I didn't mean for this to get out at all. And I respect Adrian Gonzalez. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great guy. And I think it just got blown out of proportion. I mean, he came out and said, I didn't make a big deal out of it. And it got reported. You know, guy's got his own thing. He didn't come out. He didn't hold the press conference and say, I'm not staying here because I don't like Donald Trump or whatever. But I think it was blown out of proportion by the media. I think it's a non-issue.
Okay. No, I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It was an issue for him. It's a hotel. They changed the name. He just stayed there. I mean, you know, you might not like the guy, but it's over one night or two nights. You stay in the hotel and you keep your mouth shut. But okay, it's no big deal to me either. I think that it's going to be a tough game for the Cubs tonight. I think that they could win. I mean, obviously Kershaw's beatable. But it was interesting. He did get through this. You see how excited he was when he got through the seventh inning, that game? You know, it was the first time he got through it. And he, you know, the first guy, he looked like he never pitched before, when the leadoff batter in that inning. He looked like he was bouncing the ball in. So, you know, we'll see. And then, of course, you got how about the Cleveland Indians? And how about the way that Francona is using Andrew Miller?
It's unbelievable. I mean, remember the start of the playoffs? I was one of those people. I wrote him off. I said, you know, without Salazar, without Carrasco, the pitching depth just isn't there. But, I mean, they've defied the odds, and they're a fun team to watch. I give a lot of credit to Corey Kluber. I mean, the guy has been spectacular. I know he didn't do that well in game four off short rest, but, you know, I give him credit for going out there. Didn't pitch terrible. I mean, he gave up a few runs, but, I mean, that was an interesting take for me, Bub. I honestly thought they should have saved him until game five on regular rest, but I see, you know what, I see what Terry Francona was trying to do. He said, I want to put the nail in the coffin tonight. I'm throwing my best pitcher out there. We're going to have a week break at least until the World Series starts. But, you know, lo and behold, a rookie pitcher the next night who started one time all year comes out and throws, you know, 4 1/3 innings, which is all they needed because their bullpen was spectacular the entire series.
Well, how about a middle reliever who wins the MVP? How about that?
I'm not surprised. I mean, Andrew Miller, call him Mr. High Leverage. I think, you know, the guy's been probably the best pitcher in the playoffs so far. I mean, every situation that Cleveland has needed to stop somebody, it's been Andrew Miller. And I give a lot of credit to Cody Allen for closing out the game for them. But, I mean, Andrew Miller is fantastic. And that's why I love this trade when they made it for him, because he's just such a dynamic guy. I mean, it's not always about who's closing the games. I mean, sometimes, you know, there's spots in the game that are huge turning points, and Andrew Miller has basically stopped the opponent at every one of those turning points, and that's why the Cleveland Indians, you know, have lost one game in the playoffs.
No, listen, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think I wanted Andrew Miller over Aroldis Chapman. I think Aroldis Chapman has not had a good playoffs. I know he had the strikeout the side that one that, but I mean, he's been beat up by the Dodgers. I mean, he got hit again on Thursday night. I mean, I know it was in a non-save situation, but what do I care? I mean, he gave up the tying run in the first game. Okay, he gave up runs on Thursday night. Well, I mean, you know, I don't think I liked Andrew Miller to begin with. I said that all along. I never varied. So I still like Andrew Miller better. But you know, hopefully Chapman won't give it up. But he has not done. You wouldn't consider having a good World Series or good league champion series, would you?
No, I wouldn't. But we'll see. We'll see when, you know, when the lights are on the brightest. I don't really know what it's like being a closer. But I've got to think that you don't have the same edge in a 7-run game as you do in a 1-run game. I don't know if that means anything, but, you know, if this is going to be a close game, I have faith in Chapman that'll come out and be pumping 102, 103.
I hope so. Listen, I hope so. I'm rooting for the Cubs. I'm right with you, brother. I mean, you know, I've been a long suffering Cub fan for a long time, but obviously the Indians have been spectacular, and it's amazing how that team has come together and with their pieces and how it all showed up. And you know,
and winning that game with Trevor Bauer coming out in the first inning. I mean, their bullpen has been unbelievable. The MVP of the playoffs of any team, I think, is the Cleveland bullpen. I mean, you know, talk about Andrew Miller and Cody Allen, but I mean, your starter comes out, and you know, the way he hurt his finger, I think, was the most ridiculous thing. You know, fixing one of his drones. I mean, it's October, man. Pay somebody $50 to have them clean your drones for you. I mean, you're a starting pitcher in the ALCS. And you know, that was crazy. You know, his finger was bleeding; he couldn't pitch anymore. And the bullpen's got a foot 8 1/3 innings. It was unbelievable that they won that game. Ended up taking the series. And whoever gets to the World Series, it's going to be a tall task. And I think it's going to be the Cubbies, and I think they're going to do it tonight. 2-1 Cubs. That's my prediction.
Well, you could be right, and I hope you're right. I'd like to see a great game. I'd like to see a nail biter because those are always the best. I know, you know, most fans just like to see a blowout and get it over with. But I'd like to see a nice tight game. I think the Cubbies will get there. I think they will break the curse finally after all these years, and I think it'll be a great World Series. But obviously, we don't know the other side yet. But we're going to assume it's going to be the Cubbies, and that'll do it for today's edition of the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And we will see you back here next Saturday, same time, same station, when the Cubbies are hopefully in the World Series. And that'll do it for today. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single Saturday, as well as the Bubba show every day. The Sporting Edge, we'll see you next week, and have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.